Good morning, and welcome again to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife, Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags and the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And we have a special guest today, Gary Schrader. Gary is an Eagle Scout to entrepreneur. He's the Northeastern Vice President of Scouting. He's a past president of the Chester County Council and has journeyed through scouting to a very successful career. And he's going to bring us up to speed on scouting as it is today. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you.
Thank you for
Happy
joining us.
Happy to be here.
Thank you for coming. Give us a little bit of a background. We were talking before the show how at a young age you entered scouting and you kind of pursued a path that has led you to a very successful career in both scouting and also in the private sector and business. How did all that transpire?
Well, like a lot of people, I got involved at a very young age and stayed in and had an incredibly wonderful experience, and it certainly led to other life experiences, as you referenced. It absolutely started as just a very young boy where my mother says, you know what, you need to go do some Cub Scouting. So off we went, and she was one of our den leaders, which was great. And even moving from town to town a couple of times, scouting was one of the constant themes. So it was certainly a lot of fun doing Cub Scouting at the young age. And that's really where it all starts. That's where you learn the real basic fundamentals of what it is to be a functioning member of society in a lot of ways. It's a great place to learn those basic social skills. So and of course, it's fun. That's got to be the main thing. And then I went from that and went from Cub Scouts into Boy Scouts and joined one Boy Scout troop, and it kind of struggled, so joined another one. That turned out to be fantastic. It was Troop 31 in State College, Pennsylvania, and what a tremendous experience that was. And like a lot of these units, there were some real dedicated adults that made it work. For me, it was Mr. Bailey, Mr. Donald Bailey. Credible individual, and he clearly mastered the art of letting us as boys run our program and make it work, which meant we got the chance to make mistakes but recover from them. And I started as a young boy, just a member of a patrol, and then you become an assistant patrol leader, and then pretty soon you're asked to be the leader of your patrol of eight boys. And boy, you just learn so much from that. It's just incredible, because when you're younger, you think, you know, well, you can just do whatever you want, and then all of a sudden you're 14 years old and you're asked to lead the 11 and 12 year olds, think, boy, they're not paying attention to me. Mm-hmm. And the adult leader mm-hmm. says, well, did you pay attention to them when you had leaders? Well, no. So you get these great learning experiences of leading other boys and making it work. And then from there, I was fortunate enough to be elected by my fellow scouts as the top leader, which we call the senior patrol leader. And that was just a fantastic experience. Be 15 years old, and in our case, we had actually looked it up the other day. We had 72 scouts, plus myself and two assistants. So there were 75 of us in this troop. And to be able to learn how to lead 75 people when you're 15, 16 years old is just a tremendous learning experience. And those experiences last a lifetime. They fit in everything that you do after that. So just an incredible experience.
So it's not just camping. It's developing characters, it's developing the leadership skills. I know that you continued on and actually became an Eagle Scout. I know that there is a very low percentage of scouts that are actually pursuing the Eagle, the rank of Eagle, but you actually continued on to that. And how did that change your pursuit of a career?
Yeah, it was absolutely critical and a key component of it, because as you're doing those leadership tasks, of course, you're working on the advancement requirements to go through from a Tenderfoot Scout the whole way up to an Eagle Scout. And certainly we do camping, and camping is what we call one of the methods of scouting. It's one of the tools that we use, but it's not the purpose. The purpose is to develop character, citizenship, and fitness, and leadership. So when your goal is those four, the camping is just a tool, a method of making it work. And my summer jobs were all in scouting, and even through college, I was a backpacking guide at our big facility in New Mexico called Philmont, and it was called a Philmont Ranger. It was great. And one of the things I learned about myself was that I really enjoyed leading others, and I had over time begun to acquire some skills at it. And it was through that experience that I decided I wanted to be an entrepreneur, that I wanted to capture all the value that this wonderful country of ours has to offer by embracing it to the most maximum method. And starting a company, being an entrepreneur, is one of the ways to do that. It was also a way to utilize all the leadership skills that I had learned through scouting. So it one step led to another, which led to another, and scouting was a major part of that.
You had also mentioned that your pursuit of a major in college actually came as a result of Boy Scouting. So this had a significant influence in your entire life journey, if you will, starting at a young age up to where you are today.
Yeah, and that's not unique to me. We find a lot of people have been successful in their careers, and when you ask them what made them successful, they will talk about how things they did in scouting, maybe a merit badge that they took, some adults that they had an adult association with, introduced them to things that became a career, might have introduced them to some type of engineering. I know a friend of mine's a chemical engineer. He's a PhD researcher at DuPont, and I know he came a lot of that through his introduction in scouting. So there's lots of avenues into careers through scouting. It was true of me. I enjoyed nature and all the things that we would see. And you start asking questions about, well, you know, why is this plant? Why is it growing here and not there? Why are there mushrooms growing here? Which actually led me to a career in mycology and got me into the mushroom business of all things. So, and I, like a lot of other people, as we look back, realize that yes, our university degrees were critical and key to our success. But what really differentiated us was the leadership skills and the character that we had honed in our scouting careers. And that all started when we were Cub Scouts. And making that journey through Cub Scouts all the way up to a successful career really, really makes a difference. And I had the advantage of hindsight, looking back over 30 years of owning my own company, and realize how much of that came from scouting. So I give a lot of the credit to the Boy Scouts.
So this is something that you actually had responsibilities cast upon you at a very young age by leading other scouts and other young people, young men, to help them develop. And you've continued this through now your entire career. You're a very successful entrepreneur. You have a very successful business, but you take the time to give back to the community. You've gone back to your roots to say, you know, I can make a difference. I'm going to step forward. And that has made a huge difference. So that your involvement in scouting over the course of time, after college graduation, whatever, for the past 30 years in business, what has your activity been involved relative to scouting, and what are you doing through it today?
Well, since then, going through as a youth, I was out for a number of years, about nine, and my I happened to have three sons. So, of course, my sons and I got back involved. I was scout master for 11 years. Before that, I was a den leader of tiger cubs, and went from that to helping form a venture crew, and then became Chester County Council president of scouting, which was great. And now I serve also on a regional and national level. So it's been a wonderful journey.
So this isn't something that you've done as just as a young man. This is now the fabric of your being. It's helped develop your career, and you're trying to give back to the community and bring people along, young men, into the same fabric, if you will, of developing character. And like you say, camping might be a component, but it's not the only thing about scouting. Developing a character and developing leadership commitment is really where you are with this. So we're going to take a break in a minute, and we'll be back on the other side to continue the conversation.
The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians 6:10 to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might so we can stand in the evil day. Let me ask you, are you standing strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network, agreeing with the Apostle Paul that when the days are evil, we need God's armor. To modern culture, right is wrong and wrong is right. Good is evil and evil is good. The war against God, the truth, and God's people was started by the devil and is in full swing. The Bible tells us that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will be targeted and will suffer persecution in the spiritual war. So what must we do? Put on the whole armor of God. Imagine, God designed armor to help us in the spiritual battle and available to us. In the next few weeks, we'll look at this armor of God and what it's for and why we'd better put it on. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you, did you put on God's armor today? Are you even in the battle?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
Not packed. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And our guest today is Gary Schrader. Gary, in the first segment, we were talking about your personal journey, if you will, through scouting and how it had a significant influence on you. If you could kind of outline the program as it is today and how can it help young men develop their character, and where do they start? How do they get involved?
You know, it starts when they're in first grade. We call that our Tiger Cub program, and it's a wonderful introduction to scouting. And of course, in order to do that, you need to get connected with one of our scouting groups. We call them PACs at the younger age, troops at the older age. And we have a website, of course, it's beascout.org. So if you go to beascout.org and put in your address, it'll show you the local choices available. Chester County alone, we have over 180 units available. I know that's true in all the other areas in southeastern Pennsylvania. So we have lots of groups available where you can get connected with it. And then it's just getting in and getting started and kind of starting the path, if you will, beginning the journey. There's just an incredible value to Cub Scouts. You know, it's about learning as a young boy when you're 6 years old, learning to live and identify some ideals. And, of course, when they're young like that, it's simple things. I remember my wife and I, we have three sons. They're much older now, but at the time, you want them to just not cry when you drop them off. We want them to be able to interact with their friends in a positive way. So it's a very, very simple, very basic social skills course come into play. And at the same time, we want to have a real strong family component to it. So a lot of the activities are family-based and family activities that you do. Where I remember with my sons going around our house and showing them the electric outlets and if there was a problem with something, how to deal with it. And if water was leaking in the house, we showed them where the shutoff valve was. Well, that's kind of a simple thing, but yet it's built into the program. And it begins to empower a child and teach them some of the things that they need to know in life, from simple things like that to much more important things about how we interact with people. And what's it look like? So they're just a large number of activities that we put together. The Den, which is the group of about eight boys, meets with a volunteer parent. They meet once a week. Once a month, you meet with a larger group, the pack. I do a lot of activities with the group. You might go out and do outdoor activities. Middle of the winter, you might have indoor activities. A lot of people, of course, have heard of the Pinewood Derby, where you make a car and race it. A lot of fun. So it's all about fun. And our founder of Scouting, Lord Baden-Powell, had a great statement. He said, Scouting is fun with a purpose. And that's what we do. We have a lot of fun, and we have these great activities, but everything is very focused, that at the end of the day, these are all methods. They're all about building the character of a child as he grows into a young man and will then be a wonderful citizen as an adult. So it's very much a stepwise progression. And a lot of this we can do as parents, and we do as parents. But at the same time, if we can get together with others that share our interests and share our values, it gives us a great way to enforce that it's not just mom and dad saying that this is important, that these are other people I know and respect, and they feel it's important to be trustworthy and honest and loyal and friendly and things like that, which are, of course, part of our Scout law. So it's just been a great way to get started with the Cub Scouts, and, of course, they get more involved as they go through the grades 1 through 5 and complete the Cub Scout program.
So the Cub Scouting is grades 1 through 5, and it's basically teaching a young boy how to navigate life, giving him the basic fundamentals. And as you say, mom and dad tell their children things, but so often if mom and dad say it, it doesn't mean nearly as much as if someone else says it, because who listens to mom and dad half the time?
Exactly.
So with all this having been said, supposing now there are people in our listening audience that have niece or nephews or sons or cousins or whomever of an age that's beyond the Cub Scout. You don't have to start at it's not like education where you have to start at first grade in order to get the fifth and continue on. You can jump onto this train almost any time during your life, can you not?
Yes, you can join any time. Obviously, as boys go through first or fifth grade, you can jump in any time. Generally, fall is when new dens start, but we'd love to have new members any month of the year. We do a lot of spring recruiting for the Tiger program because that's also a great time to join. We have these wonderful programs over the summer. There's a resident camp in Chester County. We have ones called Camp Horseshoe and Camp Ware, where they can go spend a week. There's also a weekend program. We have day camps that are scattered all over the county, and that's also true of all the other counties in southeastern Pennsylvania. So we have a variety of programs, and of course just day events, and then individual dens and packs will line up these really amazing activities that the parents put together that are just fun for the kids.
So the parents can get involved in this as well.
Absolutely, it's all about the parental involvement. It really is. The parents are the key. You know, in the end, the we as a scout program provide the tools for parents to deliver the program to their children. So
now, what if you would have a Cub Scout with parents that aren't involved at all? How does that work?
Well, usually what happens is you'll have a couple adults will step up and will be the adult leaders of a den. And that group of two or three will probably have anywhere from 6 to 8 children in the den. So not everybody has time to do this, and we understand that. We all have very busy lives. We have careers. We have other pressures on us. So it really is, I like the expression of many hands make for light work. Mm-hmm. And that's true here. If we all pitch in and maybe some dads particular may not be able to be there in the afternoon after school, do a program, even early evening because we're busy working. But yet we find those dads will run the Pinewood Derby, or we'll take over a Saturday event, or we'll go camping in the summer. So there's a chance for everybody to make a contribution depending on what type of interests you have. Because when everybody has special skills, we want everybody to show those and share them with the community, and this is a great way to do that.
It also sounds as if this is an opportunity for some of these children who may not have a good home life, particularly, to have male mentors that can kind of show them the way.
It is, absolutely. Matter of fact, one of the methods that we describe is having adult role models. And that's men and women that can serve as role models for how to behave as productive members of society. And, of course, we have our Scout Oath and our Scout Law that we use to guide us in our program. And there's just lots of ways that we can model that. And that really is the strength of the program. And especially in today's world where a lot of the interactions are electronic and involve staring at a screen where that doesn't come through in the same fashion as it does being face-to-face and truly interacting with children.
It's an incredible program, and we would encourage all of our listeners to go to the website, beascout.org, and pursue this, because there are many, many opportunities here. And as Gene was saying, just to have a male mentor or a female mentor in the form of a den mother when you're young as a Cub Scout, so that there's activities. And I know that when I was a kid, we were out all the time running around and exercising, and today we find that our kids are staring at screens and doing iPhones and whatever, and we don't get the exercise, we don't get the exposure, and we almost isolate ourselves to some degree. Where here, you're interacting with the small group, but then you're also interacting with the larger group, and you're taking on the responsibility. So we would encourage them to do that.
And also, today with so many people coming, or children coming from what they call broken homes, for lack of a better term, I would think that scouting would really play a great role in helping those kids out.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, it opens up avenues of activities and friendships, and as they get older, leadership development that probably would not have had an opportunity to do. And that's just tremendous value. We hear a lot of single parents talk about that the value that we provide to their children, and I think that's our role as communities, is to support each other and to make it contributions like that.
Another mm-hmm. thing too is that with kids being in scouting or Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts, is that they would be hanging around, as you would say, if you would, with kids of good character, as opposed to being around kids that would maybe lead them in the wrong direction. So this is a great way for them to associate with the right kind of kids.
Oh, absolutely. I always tell parents when they're joining Cub Scouts, or even when they're moving on and joining a Boy Scout troop, that as kids get older, they learn more and they're more likely to listen to their peers than they are their parents. And of course that gets into the teenage years and some of that behavior. So what becomes critical is the group of friends that your children make. Well, you can't influence a lot of what they, who they spend time with in school, but you can afterwards. And sports is kind of a random thing if you just do sports. But if you come into a scout group, you're going to know what our value system is. It's called the Scout Oath and the Scout Law. We advertise it clearly. And they're going to make friends. And what I saw with my children, and they're all, you know, grown adults now, is their friends through even college came from their early scouting years. And that became their peer group that had a positive reinforcement with each other, not a negative one.
So we have a positive group influencing the rest of the group. So that this is very encouraging. And we're going to take a break in another minute. And on the other side, we're going to discuss the next step in the evolution, going from Cub Scouting up into Boy Scouts and what the opportunities is there. So we'll be back just on the other side.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
One, two, three.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gossett, inviting you to join me for Backstage Jazz. I'll spend an hour each week taking you behind the music and into the lives of America's top jazz musicians. Experience live jazz music and connect with the artists through backstage interviews. Join us right here for this season of Backstage Jazz. Broadcasting Saturday afternoon at 4 and streaming Sunday night at 6 on WFYL.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Hello, this is Paul Fisher, headmaster of Coventry Christian School in Pottstown. I am so pleased that WFYL is a growing part of our community, serving as a voice of reason and a defender of and proponent for all that has made and will make America a great nation. There simply are not enough competing voices and ideas in the media, and we are proud to partner with WFYL in working for your liberty and things that truly matter. Advertising on WFYL has served us well and opened doors of opportunity for expanding our mission in classical Christian education, and the good people at the station have been so kind to help us network as well. I hope you will faithfully tune in to WFYL, share this station with others, and consider how a partnership with your organization or business could strengthen our community and build a stronger America.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife Jean from Brandywine Flags in the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. And our guest today is Gary Schrader. Gary, in the first segment, I showed my age. I'm sorry. I pulled a blunder. I referred to the leaders of the dens as den mothers. When I was a kid, they were den mothers, but they're no longer, they're den leaders now.
The world has changed, Michael. We call them den leaders now. That's correct.
Okay. I stand corrected. I'm old, and I'm allowed to do that. So we kind of went through the Cub Scout program that's available in this last segment, and now we'd like to continue on and talk more about the Boy Scouts, that when you progress in age, that your next step would be Boy Scouting. But again, you don't have to be a graduate of the Cub Scout program. You can enter into scouting at any time in your life, whatever your age, whatever the appropriate opportunity is, that's where you would go. So bring us into the Boy Scout arena, if you would, please.
Yeah, you can join scouting anytime. Not surprisingly, most people that were Cub Scouts carry on with Boy Scouts, the vast majority, but many will youth will also join at that age, and we're happy to have them at any stage. Cub Scouting lays this tremendous foundation, and Boy Scouting, of course, builds on that. And the Boy Scouting is as it has been traditionally delivered and we still do it today, is very active outdoors. We get out and we go camping. We do hiking. We go biking. We do lots of things to just go out and make it fun. Boys need the exercise, and we know that their attention span is improved if you've done something to run them around before you sit down and try to do any kind of activity. And certainly we employ that as one of our primary methodologies. So, but it's a process of developing, and they start off working on a rank. They do joining rank, which we call scout rank, and then of course start working on tenderfoot. And they're just simple, basic, but nonetheless foundational skills to learn. They might be outdoor skills like first aid or safe hiking or things like that. But it's also, how do you engage in people, and how do we start to live this scout oath and scout law that has these lofty aspirational ideals? How do we start to live that? And we ask boys to commit themselves to that when they're 11, 12 years old, to that process. And it's something that they're going to learn to experience by watching it modeled by the older scouts, by the adults, again, as we described earlier, and start to work the process. We have advancement, where you start as a tenderfoot, and then you do some of the early ranks up to first class. At that point, the young men are probably been in the program a year, maybe two, and they're getting very skilled at camping and hiking. And then we start to give them responsibilities. Say, okay, some others helped you. Now you help others. You help them how to learn how to do these things. You become the teacher. And it's just classic methodology. You know, if somebody teaches us something, we learn from that. But then we learn more as we practice it. But we learn the most when we have to teach it. And we ask these young boys to begin teaching it to others. First teach simple things, and maybe only teach it to one other person. Well, then we start the leadership process. So then instead of teaching it to one person, maybe next time they teach it to two or three. And eventually maybe there'll be an assistant patrol leader, a group of eight boys, and they're asked to lead. Or a patrol leader, where they're asked to provide the leadership to eight boys. And that's a tremendous learning process for them, where they really see what it's like to kind of be on both sides of being a follower and being a leader. And it's a rude awakening to some of them. They think, boy, you know, those little kids aren't paying attention to me. And I always laugh and I say, well, what were you like when you were 11 years old? And they go, oh, yeah, I was just like that, wasn't I? Okay, so how did you feel then? What did it feel like? And I get them to start to remember what it's like and start to teach empathy and teach understanding. And, of course, now scientists would call that emotional intelligence, but that's exactly what we're doing. That's what we're teaching. And they're gaining it and they're living it. And then as they go through that, then they get into the merit badge program. I have all these merit badges to choose from. We talked a little earlier about some of the career choices, and that's where the process begins, is you start to have all these opportunities where you pick and choose all these opportunities. We have like 130-some merit badges are available on all sorts of topics. And if you have a career interest or just a personal interest or just something that looks fun, then you have a chance to go do that on your own. At the same time, we have some required badges. We want you to do citizenship in the community, in the nation, in the world. We want you to understand what it's like to be a citizen of the world, what your obligations are to that. And we teach that. And the citizenship merit badges will be example of required merit badges. So they're going through that whole process. And they're learning, they're growing, they're starting to lead others. And as they get up in the 14-15 range, we have another program which is available to all local scouts. And it's called Youth Leader Training. And we have a program called the National Youth Leader Training. And it's offered to all scouts across the nation. And it's our leadership school. So you're certainly learning leadership with your local scoutmaster. And he's teaching you, the other adults are teaching you, the older scouts are teaching you. And then we take them out for 2-3-day weekends and put them through this National Youth Leader Training Program. And it's just an incredible process. We have a lot of parents that call us up on the Sunday after the program, and the conversation goes something along the lines of, what did you do to my son? And it's like, okay, you know, did he have a problem or was there some issue? And it's like, no, I sent this little smart aleck son, and he came back much more mature. What happened? Mm-hmm. How did you do that? And I said, well, that's scouting. It's what we do. And attending the National Youth Leader Training Program is certainly one of those jump steps of that. But that groundwork has been laid since they were 6 years old and learning how to interact with people and learning these basic core foundational elements. And it all played out in this jump that comes from attending that. And then they come back to their troop, and now they're this much more mature, confident leader of the other boys, and of course the other boys benefit from that whole thing too. So it's this great building process, and we have great national leader training programs in all the councils around here. I've been connected with almost all of them in some fashion or another, and from that a group of us in the area formed another program which we call the Leadership Academy. And for the scouts who attend the National Leadership Training Program, some of them are asked to come back and be instructors. So we needed a school, or as we call it, a leadership academy, that is a train-the-trainer program that teaches these outstanding youth that are going to be instructors how to teach leadership. So think about the value of that to our country, of having these young men that are now 16, 17 years old, not only learn leadership, but have been taught how to teach leadership.
Basically, you have assigned responsibility to these individuals in a way that they've never received that before, and they've accepted it, and now they've taken responsibility, and they've grown from there. That sounds like what it's all about, that all of a sudden someone is treating them like an adult, and they're no longer a child, and they're accepting that, and they're stepping up to the program.
And they certainly are not learning any of this in school, obviously, today.
Yeah, that's one of the problems, I think, is that, you know, assigning responsibility and having that young person accept the responsibility.
It is. It's such a huge step change, and it changes their lives. So this is a life-changing, transformational process, and it happens with a lot of incremental steps, and then you get to see this incredible butterfly coming out of the cocoon, knowing that there was years of work to make that happen. But when they become a youth leader and they get the training from the Scoutmaster, and hopefully they get to attend our National Youth Leader Training Program, that just really pulls it all together and brings it all to life.
Scouting is no longer camping, as you indicated. It's building character and building the leadership skills that you'll need to navigate life. It certainly is a lot different today than when I was young and in scouting. But we're going to take a break in a minute, and we'll, on the other side, we're going to talk about what is the opportunity available today in the scouting program to move forward in the 21st century.
If you like Car Talk, catch Under the Hood Saturday and Sunday mornings from 6 to 7. Exclusively streaming on 1180WFYL.com. Worldwide on your computer or mobile device. Stream Under the Hood this Saturday morning from 6 to 7 at 1180WFYL.com or on your favorite mobile device. Go to our website at 1180WFYL.com to find out more.
Hi friends, Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Hey, everybody, this is Laura Ingram. Thanks for listening to my show and the other great programs carried live on WFYL 1180 AM, broadcasting from the historic Cradle of Liberty area, Valley Forge and Philadelphia.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the Recorder of Deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact the Recorder of Deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veterans photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran, and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. Takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
Welcome back to Raise the Standard. I'm Michael Rapp in studio with my wife, Jean. We're from Brandywine Flags and the Marchwood Shopping Center in Exton. Our guest today is Gary Schrader. And at the close of the last segment, I said that, we're now in the 21st century. And Gary, tell us, how has scouting moved into the 21st century? Not in the fact that we're teaching something different. We're still teaching character and developing character, but what are the tools that are now available that are different from when I was a scout a long time ago, and how are we implementing those changes today?
Well, there's certainly been a lot of change, and it's all created lots of opportunities for us to really maximize how we deliver scouting. When I was a scoutmaster, which I was a scoutmaster until 2003, I had a rule, or we as the adults had a rule, that the youth boys were not allowed to bring electronic devices on the campouts. We felt they were a distraction, and we were there to not be distracted or have somebody head down in a Game Boy, for example, but rather that they would be engaged in the program. And roll forward a handful of years, and certainly that's changed a lot. I would say today, we certainly want to teach responsible use of all the things, but I would encourage scouts to bring their smartphones and their cameras and some of these other electronic things that we all possess along, so that we can share the value of what we're doing to describe it. One of the examples of that is we have a new scouting base in West Virginia called The Summit, and it's where we hold our jamborees every 4 years. We also have a high adventure base there. We have a scout camp there. We have weekend programs. There's a whole variety of programs there. And the entire site is completely wired with Wi-Fi and with cell signals. And the whole point is that we should be taking selfies of themselves, the boys, and they should be posting things on Twitter. They should be posting things on their Facebook account and get them up and share the world what we're doing. That is what the future looks like, and we have to teach scouts to be to behave responsibly in that environment too.
It's super. It's a whole metamorphosis, as you had mentioned previously, that it's totally different than it was years ago. And the good news is that that scouting is changing with the times and bringing that technology. You also had mentioned in one of the times when we were taking the break that there are other programs. The STEM program, I think, is one that you had mentioned is now – is that a pilot at this point?
Yeah, there's a couple things going on. Of course, STEM is science, technology, engineering, and math. And we in scouting have always had those merit badges that were based on exactly those principles. And recognizing that there's even more opportunity there, we're in our second year of a pilot, and 12 area councils around the country are further testing a program, and I expect it to be available in our area in the fall of 2016. And what's different about it is that it's instead of using the outdoor program as our method, as our tool to attract youth to be interested in us teaching our character process and foundational, you know, understanding we want them to have. In this case, we're using science, technology, engineering, and math through the STEM program. So the pilot STEM program is a little different. Number one, it's co-ed. It starts also in grade school. It's a little older. Looks like it'll start around third or fourth grade, depending how these pilot courses come out. Goes the whole way through high school. So it has all of the same fundamentals. We still use the Scout Oath and the Scout Law. So in this case, both boys and girls use the Scout Oath and the Scout Law as their guiding light through the program. And we still develop leadership opportunities. But in a case like this, we're using the STEM program as our focus as opposed to the outdoor program. Obviously, we're not walking away from our traditional outdoor program. We think that's key and critical. It's core to everything that we do. But at the same time, we know that we need to add some programs that are not outdoors. Not everybody is interested in maybe in the same fashion they used to. And in today's technology and the world that our children and their children are going to live in, it's up to us to learn how to deliver these type of programs in that environment.
So scouting is no longer just for boys.
No, we've had a program, a co-ed program for girls that's, that they can join at age 14 called Venturing. And that runs up through until you turn 21. So we've had that for a number of years, I think almost, more than 15. So we've had that for a long time, but now we're expanding it and looking at what that might do for development. And we will learn how to do this and make iterative improvements. And I think we're going to have some really strong programs that will not only embrace and accept, but will build on everything that new technology has to offer now and in the future.
That's fabulous. So we're changing with the times. And we're bringing this really into the 21st century, and we're building the character of the leaders of America, men and women, because this is our future. We have to look at this, that we're all getting older, and we're going to pass on as everyone else in the past. Our lives are limited, and we have to develop the future of the country and the future of our nation in the character of the leaders, and that's what this program is all about.
Well, that's right. And scouting, we're in the character business. It's what we do: character, fitness, citizenship, and leadership. And those things are even more needed today and more valuable today than they've been in the past. And it's up to us to develop that. I have a series of talks I give, and one of them I say, you know, think about this. Think about 20, 25 years in the future that three scientists are sitting around, and they're clearly debating something, and they're in their lab coats, and you realize that, you know, there's a couple women in the group, and maybe some people that don't look like traditional scouts look, and they're debating something. So you go over and you listen, and you realize that they are the researchers that have been working on one of the human diseases that's bedeviled us for ages, and you also know that they're working on the human genome. And here they have found some very interesting findings in their research, but at the same time, it creates a very thorny moral and ethical thicket for them. Well, we in scouting, our mission is to teach young people to make ethical choices over their lifetime by instilling in them the values of the Scout Oath and the Scout Law. So our mission is not to get people camping. Our mission is to give people the tools to make those moral and ethical decisions. So if we go back to our scientists sitting around a table, and they're adults now, and they've been practicing this, and as I would like to see that scenario play out, they make very effective ethical and moral decisions because we have been instilling in them the right values and teaching them how to make those kinds of choices with technology since they were very young.
It comes down, we should take the word priority out of the mix here. Priorities change. So we no longer have priorities. We have values, because values don't change. And once you have a value instilled in the fabric of your being, it's a value for life. And this is what you're trying to develop. It's a character development.
And in this scenario that you were talking about with the scientists, there were one or two people in there that had scouting backgrounds. One of the things that they would have not only to make good ethical choices, but the, from their leadership experience, they wouldn't be afraid to stand up and, you know, go against the tide of the other tides of the other a group. So that's important as well, that they wouldn't be afraid to stand up and say, no, this is wrong.
Yeah, and it's not only to do that, but to even go another step further. But, you know, one of the core skills of leadership is articulating a very effective vision for a new future. And certainly when you get into technology, you have that. New futures are possible that were not possible before. And if these scientists are also effective leaders, they'll be able to communicate and sell their vision of the world and get people to follow them. And I think that's what success looks like for anybody that was a scout.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're looking for the communication skills. And today, I think that we're having a problem in the fact that people are texting each other. You might be sitting next to a friend, and instead of talking to them, you'd be texting them. It's crazy. So with this, you know, with the leadership that you're teaching, you're able to communicate and interact with people.
And convince them of your opinion.
Right, and it's not just an opinion. It's a value that you're trying
right.
to
Right, it's got to be values-based, and when we teach that as foundational, as I've used the word throughout our conversation today, that becomes really solid ground you can stand on. And when you have that and others don't, it gives you the opportunity to carry the day with your vision of a future. And we want our vision to be that one of high moral character where people are making ethical decisions. And we know from our 100-year history that we're very good as an organization in providing that opportunity. And that really shows in a lot of our folks that are Eagle Scouts, and we all know the reputation of Eagle Scouts, and it's because of just these factors we're talking about here.
Gary, thank you so much for joining us today and bringing this to the attention of all of our listening audience. And we're going to encourage everyone to consider either volunteering your time as an adult, whether it be as a den leader in the Cub Scouting program, have your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, whomever, because we now have girls that are available for the venturing program, and become involved and try and help to develop the character of our young people. We thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hello, this is Paul Fisher, headmaster of Coventry Christian School in Pottstown. I am so pleased that WFYL is a growing part of our community, serving as a voice of reason and a defender of and proponent for all that has made and will make America a great nation. There simply are not enough competing voices and ideas in the media, and we are proud to partner with WFYL in working for your liberty and things that truly matter. Advertising on WFYL has served us well and opened doors of opportunity for expanding our mission in classical Christian education. And the good people at the station have been so kind to help us network as well. I hope you will faithfully tune in to WFYL, share this station with others, and consider how a partnership with your organization or business could strengthen our community and build a stronger America.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America. You're listening to WFYL 1180, working for your liberty and things that matter. Thanks for listening.